Okay, can we have the first slide up? Can you hear me? Is this loud enough? Yes, okay, good. So the first thing I want you to do is have a conversation in twos and threes about this question. What is your idea of the good life? Now, I'm not asking you for your opinion on Tom and Barbara or self-sufficiency in general. What is it you dream of for, you know, if life was just perfect, what would that be like? Can you describe that to the people near you? Have a go. People are quietening down, so maybe that's as much time as you need. Okay, so hands up, shout out. There's just some phrases that came up. Maybe so if you, particularly if you agreed on anything with your friend who you're talking to. Hassle free, yes, good. I agree. Yes. Anyone else? Home for everybody. Love that. Yeah, excellent. Yes. Absolutely. Everyone knows that they're loved by God and other people. Yeah. Okay. Having enough money so that you only have to do the things you want to do and not the things you don't want to do. Now that could mean 100 million things, couldn't it? That's interesting. Okay. Right. Okay, good. Now we're going to come back to that. I'm going to look now like I'm talking about something completely different. I've been an adult, as in living on outside of my parents' home, for 20 years this week. That's when I went to university, 20 years ago. And I've been a bad housekeeper for 19 years and 3 months. Yep. Testify, sister. I mean, I'm not as bad at it as Paul is. And he knows that. There's all sorts of stories there. It's just not a thing I've ever been good at. I could keep a tidy bedroom when I was a child either, you know. And I want to live in a tidy house. I've always wanted to. I like it when things are tidy. But I always felt overwhelmed by getting my house tidy and keeping it that way. Got lots of nods. Yeah, I see one big nod happening already. You know, I've never found any pleasure in doing the tidying or the cleaning or any of those chores. I wasn't even particularly keen on cooking for most of that time. Still not my favourite thing to do. So if money were no object, I would probably never cook, for example. But I want to eat healthy meals and I can't afford to pay someone to cook for me. So, yeah, so I cook. But until this January, so what changed is what you're asking, isn't it? In January, I'd basically, just before Christmas, I finished helping my parents downsize and move to their new place and get that all sorted. And I started looking at our house with the same eyes, you know, thinking, I do not want to get to 60 and have to do all that work that my parents have just had to do. And started looking on YouTube and putting words in like declutter and that sort of thing. And then you find it takes you to lots of other things, doesn't it, when you put things in like that. And I started watching Decluttering and I came across Marie Kondo. Everyone's heard of her. Oh, yes. Does it give you a zzz? No. Generally not, no. And all sorts of things. And I came across the Fly Lady system. So the Fly Lady is an American woman who was suffering with mental health problems, mostly depression and anxiety. And she came up with this system for putting one foot in front of the other, even on the bad days. And I can't watch her videos. She's got a really annoying voice. But there's a wonderful woman on YouTube called Diane in Denmark. And in fact, there you are. Oh, you're listening. Diane in Denmark. And she talks about the Fly Lady system. She's got some other things as well. She's a bit of a life coach on YouTube. She also, you know, she talks about other things she does in her life, like skinny dipping in the sea in Denmark all year round. And even when there's slushy ice in the sea, Anyway, so, but she has pom-poms and she goes, rah, 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 it's Friday, we've made it to Friday, and this sort of thing. And she is like a cheerleader for her audience, but a coach as well. And she takes you through the Fly Lady system. Now, the Fly Lady system, if you just go on the website, for one thing, the website's quite overwhelming. Don't go on the website. And if you feel easily overwhelmed by, it's because I'm dyslexic, isn't it? There's just too much different writings going on the page. But do watch Diane in Denmark. And what she does is she says, if you're new to the Fly Lady system, don't watch this video. Go back to the 31 baby steps. And then each day for 31 days she takes you through a new habit to try each day. Now I really only got through morning and evening routines, and that was enough to change my life. There are some other things they do. They have morning and evening routines, they have daily focus, I don't do that, they have weekly home blessing hour, that's a nice name for it, isn't it? So they you know, break up all the house chores into weekly things, and then there's monthly things as well. So each week you have a room that you focus on and you do your detail cleaning in that room. I don't do that either, but I've done a bit. I've done more than I used to do, which is the important thing. Why am I talking about this? Faith comes by hearing. And that's a bit of the Bible that I know for a fact, because I have grown up in faith and I have learned my faith. I have acquired my faith through hearing everyone talking at church, all the sermons, the songs, people telling their testimonies, all those sorts of things. This is how I've acquired my faith. And I've acquired my understanding and belief in myself about housework because I'm hearing Diane in Denmark. Now, even if I wasn't doing what she was saying about doing, I'd listened. And it's... Is that Diane in Denmark, David? She's Scottish, as you might have just heard. I love it. And then the other thing is habits. So because it's all about these habits, and she always says, if you're feeling a bit down, if you've got the blahs or the blues, she's Scottish, just keep going with your routines. Just keep going with your morning and evening routines. She's right. It makes so much difference. And so now I wake up in the morning, even sometimes before I go to the loo, I will get my load of laundry and get that ready to go downstairs with me. Might go to the loo and then pick it up again and go downstairs. My load of laundry, my daily load of laundry. Yeah, awesome, nodding you on. Is that what you do as well, Marion? Yeah. Yeah, well, you're very organised. I mean, you are like the queen of housework. I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear your testimony on that sometime. But that goes in, and then the coffee, and I have my routine. I do the same thing every morning, and so lots of things get done. And so now I've got my hearing, I've got my habits. If my habits are starting to slip, I watch some more Diane in Denmark. There's also a lady who does the same sort of thing. She's my age. She's called the Secret Slob. And she's Canadian, and she calls herself... Oh, now he's picked his phone up again. He's going to look at her on YouTube. she calls herself the Secret Slob because she says, you know, if you came around my house, you wouldn't know how slobby I am, because I would spend the whole of the hour before you're coming around tidying up. And this is what I used to do. So, you know, until this January, if you were coming over to my house, I would be spending at least an hour running around my house, probably shouting at my children and possibly my husband as well. And there's some nodding over there. And manically tidying up, you know. And that's how I got a tidy house half the time, was because people were coming. So I had to do it. Yes. Which means we never get to enjoy the tidy house. So what am I saying? Yes, yeah, so faith comes by hearing. And if I'm ever starting to slip with my routines, now I'll watch some more Diane in Denmark or Secret Slob. Her name's Steph. She's really nice. And I'll pick that up again and start with my habit, make sure I'm getting my habits done. Why? Right, I'm going to look like I'm changing the subject again completely. Here is a new Greek word that I learned this summer. It's called telos. Now, telos means aim or goal or end or purpose. Direction, that's the other thing it can mean. Those sorts of things. Purpose, goal, direction, aim, etc. Why is it that we sin and we do the things we don't want to do? We do, our brain knows something, but our heart doesn't. We often talk about that, don't we? We need to get it from here to here. And that's what telos is about. Telos is about your heart direction. So, and what the first question I asked, what's your ideal of a good life? The good life, rather. What's your heart longing for? What's your heart direction? What's your telos? The chief end of man is to worship God. That's an old saying. So our compass, our heart compass, is probably much more important than what's going on up here. And faith comes by hearing. Faith is what's in here, I think. You know, it's not what's in here. It's not, I know that God could heal that. It's, God could heal that. Do you know what I mean? It's totally different. And telos is totally different from thinking of ourselves as brains on legs. So a lot of our way of working, schools, and there's a lot of teachers in this room, schools and often what we do in church as well, is thinking about thinking, is if we can think the right things, then we'll do the right things. But it doesn't work. We still think we're still doing the wrong things. Because actually, as well as brains, we're also hearts. We're also loves. We're lovers. We are, this book I've been reading would say we are primarily lovers. I'm not sure I agree with him about that, but it's a very important part of why we do things is what we're loving. So we love God and we love the kingdom of God. Yes, I am going to talk a bit about the kingdom, although we're going to talk a lot more about the kingdom. I'm not going to talk at all about what the kingdom is right now, other than, we'll get there. No spoilers. Okay, but there are alternatives to our telos. Our telos can stay focused on God, or it can get distracted. Faith comes by hearing, and that can mean God, but it can also mean other things. So there are rival spiritual formations. There are things that want to take our love away from God. And one of the big things, and it's not new because Jesus talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount, but it's a big thing for our society, is consumerism. Let's just have a little think about consumerism and how it's affecting us and how it's influencing us, actually. So if we think about consumerism, there's adverts on the telly, there's shops, there's a high street. If you think about big shopping centres like Cribbs Causeway, you could almost call it a cathedral to consumerism. You walk in and there's the sort of foyer of the cathedral. It's really high and well lit and grand. You know, it's huge, isn't it? Some people go there all the time because they're the regulars. Some people go there just occasionally. And the people you could talk of as pilgrims. We make a pilgrimage to this consumerism temples. Don't have that one up yet. Thank you. So you walk through the mall, and there's lots of adverts around, and they're like the banners that we see in cathedrals, you know, telling us the story, getting us in the right frame of mind. And you go into a shop, and that's like a chapel. Cathedrals have lots of different chapels in them, and each shop is like a chapel, and you worship consumerism in this place. As you're looking for the thing that's going to fulfill you. You're looking for the right thing that's going to fulfill your need, going to make you feel like consumerism tells you you're going to feel, you know, which is fulfilled. If I just have that next thing, then I'll be better. I'll be a better person. I'll feel better. Those sorts of things. And then you take your item to the till where the priest, to the altar, where the priest does this transaction, and you leave your offering and you take your blessing. And then you might go to another chapel and repeat the process. And this is how it's not just knowing but doing consumerism that influences us, that forms us, that distracts our telos, takes us to the wrong telos. And what's the consequences? The consequences of consumerism are you never have enough. Okay, we can bring that up now, the next Bible verse, because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both money and God. So he is saying there that our telos has either got to be towards God or towards money and consumerism. Some of the consequences of consumerism are that you always need more. It's a bit like an addiction. Also, you end up with your house full of stuff, and what you need then is storage solutions. Paul used to tease me about buying more and more storage solutions. and this is a thing. And now, actually, right now, we've got tons of empty storage solutions in our loft that we're not using. And then we get cluttered and overwhelmed by the mess in our house because there's too much stuff. So the other thing I found in January was minimalism. And again, it's another telos. It's very similar to the fly lady thing. In fact, fly lady talks a lot about decluttering and making it a regular thing for you to do. So then again, if you want to think about turning away from consumerism, on YouTube there's a chap called Joshua Becker, and there's a woman called the Minimal Mom. Her name's Dawn. She's American, but her voice isn't too annoying. And both of those have sort of documented their journey towards minimalism. They're both Christians, and they both talk a bit about the spirituality of it as well, about not focusing on things and buying things and having things and having to look after these things, but getting rid of those things so that you can focus on, and because they know their audience is largely secular, they will say focus on the things that matter, focus on the people in your life, focus on having time to do things. And because, again, we are so in this consumerism thing, they'll say, and you'll have more money because you're not spending it on stuff you don't need. Yes, so working too hard, having too much stuff. Oh, but then we need to work really hard as well, don't we? If we have to buy all this stuff, then we need to work really hard to get this stuff. And I know this is even more of a thing in America, where they work all the hours there are. But, you know, maybe if you didn't need to buy all this stuff, you wouldn't need quite so many hours at work. Maybe you would still. I don't know. That's different. And then the other thing Joshua Becker particularly has talked about is that, you know, when you really understand the value of stuff and you don't need all this money because you're not buying all the stuff. He's downsized his house as well because they realized they were, you know, living in a house. They didn't need such a big house. If it's a smaller house, you could. Anyway, that's a more of an American thing anyway, because we tend not to have such big houses in this country. But then he talked about giving. If you've got the value of money placed properly, then you're also going to be freer to give. And actually, people who have a smaller income tend to give a larger percentage of their income to charity. And I'm just going to leave that one there. That's all good. So I haven't got the question up on here because I thought I wouldn't have enough time, but let's have a little break and a chat. So how can we refocus our telos? Bring the next verse up. So, oh no, it is there. I did put the question up. Sorry, go back one. I did. Okay, good. So how can we change? So for my home telos, the whole housekeeping thing, I had Diane in Denmark and the secret slob to listen to all the time and tell me little things to do and give me hints and tips and that sort of thing. How can we reorient our telos towards the kingdom of God? Now, a load of you said when you asked the question, what's your idea of a good life, gave really kingdom of God answers, like everyone having a home and everyone being happy. Was that? I can't remember. Definitely. Knowing they were loved. Yeah, really important. Absolutely. Yeah. And so that's good. But just I want you to have a chat and you please then tell me some of your things about how we keep ourselves on track or how we get ourselves back on track when our telos drifts. I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. Okay. Okay, so this is good. There's lots of talking. Hopefully that means there's lots of things you're going to be able to tell me. Okay, so we've got time to do, every couple could tell us something. Over there, did you have anything to share with the group?
For me, it's
reading your Bible, what was it?
Reading the Bible, spending time with God,
praying and listening to God. Excellent, good. Okay, yep. At the back.
So for me, I generally found I'm generous to others rather than just looking at my own needs. There's some sort of balance that happens there. Mm.
Generosity, yeah, yeah. And do you spend time thinking about other people's needs and then how you're going to, who you're going to help and how much you're going to help and those sorts of things? Yeah. Ian and Dave, anything?
It's difficult.
Yeah, okay, all right.
You can get the theory right if you're in process towards someone.
Yes. We'll go along the back row. There were three ladies there.
Well, we were talking about the fact it's quite a struggle to find time of day when my eyes are open to read Bible. I'm not nodding off the sofa all the way back.
Anything else from that group that you wanted to add? That's it. Guys at the back. That's brilliant. That just reminded me of something I heard yesterday on All in the Mind about children and encouraging them to do things that scare them a bit. and how and letting them fail as well, and learning then that failure isn't the end of the world, and what happens if you do fail, oh well, you know, and that kind of thing. So yeah, that's really good. Yeah, and also you just said something about asking people, you know, kind of, am I getting this right? Before the question comes, there will be a lot of meditation time. You'll have been thinking about that thing, you'll have been pondering on it. Reflecting and meditating is all formating. Oh, that's not the right, that's not a word, formating, is it? You know what I mean? It's formation. It's formation. Yeah, yeah, good. Right. Oh, folks over here, anything to share?
You basically said that talk to people in Mesita in the same way that you do.
Oh, does that help? Okay, you don't just wallow in your own misery. Brilliant. Yes, I messed it up like this, but this is how I moved on.
Not always.
Okay, yeah, so you might not have messed up exactly like me, but you've messed up in some way, and this is how you moved on. Something like that. Okay. Oh, okay, right. Front three, as other than telling Andy he ought to retire.
No, I said he shouldn't retire, because then he loses a routine and have time to do things.
Routines are so important for getting stuff done, aren't they? Yeah, you have more time. Yeah, that's. Yeah.
Peter said he had more time when he was working to pray and read Bibles. He had basically saying he had routine.
Yeah.
And now Mary's retired, he's having to create.
Yes, make new routines.
He's got to make new routines.
Yeah. That's good.
Going to start today.
Going to start now. Might have, maybe. Anything else from that group? No? Okay, cool. And then, I don't know, you two were a pair, weren't you? Did you come up with anything that you'd currently do?
I think everybody else has expressed what we were chatting about. But we also talked about the fact that you can ask God for wisdom, and then you can look at what it is we're doing and see whether.
Yes. Really good. And this book I was reading, where I learnt the word telos, he talks a lot about, well, there's a whole chapter about what you do at home, in your culture at home, and how you. What the telos of your home life is like, and yeah, he talks a lot. Well, look at it. You know, what are you doing? Assess things, and yeah, so that's good.
Scenario: do what you did with your tracking. Go online, type in, and you have the phone,
so
any ideas.
Yeah, Google it. That's the answer to everything, isn't it? At teen breakfast yesterday morning, one of the teenagers asked me what a certain word means, and I said, Google it. and that was great. And he said, oh, I haven't got any data. I said, there's free Wi-Fi here, it's fine. God and Google. No, but yeah, there's a whole new sort of worldwide church that we have access to through the internet now, isn't there? And probably if you have a question, somebody will have written something about it. And I think that's, absolutely right. Yeah. And last two, I know it's harder. We didn't talk about you guys, because I've had a conversation with you. Dawn, can you summarise? Fellowship. Oh, well done. Yes, fellowship's really important, isn't it, to have other people. Well, that's kind of what you were saying, actually, as well, talking to people, fellowship, yeah, and encouragement. Somebody over here, that's what you were saying as well, isn't it? It's encouraging each other, building each other up. Absolutely brilliant. Anything else to add to this?
Stop doing things which reinforce the bad habits.
Yeah, stop doing things that reinforce the bad habits. Like what?
Turning off the news when... It just reinforces how bad you feel about this or that.
Absolutely.
You can do nothing about it.
I've been doing that, yeah.
It's all speculation anyway.
A lot of it, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely. So stop listening to the prophets of doom and listen, and then you can focus on the hope that we have, focus on the better thing. Absolutely. Bible says whatever is good, whatever is praiseworthy, think about these things, doesn't it? So yeah, absolutely. So you are talking about, so you guys were brilliant then. That was everything, it was all in there. Fellowship, habits of good habits like listening, reading your Bible and praying and this sort of thing, but also guarding your heart. So turning off the things that are not beneficial. When I was a teenager, I went to Stoneleigh Bible Week. It was a lot like Soul Survivor, but it was, well, it was more like New Wine, I suppose. So there was the teen thing we went to. And I don't know if we had these sermons at church as well, but I think most years we had a sermon that said, guard your heart, be careful what you're looking at, be careful what you're listening to, be careful what telly programs you're watching, be careful what music you're listening to. Guard your heart from these negative influences. Yeah, absolutely. So that's great. So I think my two big things would be that, or at least you can bring all that down into what you're hearing, because faith comes by hearing. And if you're hearing negative things on the news, you're going to have, well, the opposite of faith, but you're going to have, yeah, you're going to have depression and anxiety. So what you're listening to, what you're hearing, what you're telling yourself, the meditation stuff, all goes in that bucket. And then I think there's habits as well. Habits like regularly giving, being generous. There's all the sorts of things we've talked about. Fellowship is a habit. Turning up on Sundays or small groups is a habit. Breaking bread is a habit. Fellowship in terms of meals is a habit. What else? What have I forgotten? Praying together. Yeah, absolutely. All these things. Speaking scripture to each other, reminding each other. And somebody, did somebody say something? Or did I hear you? Somebody saying something about sharing the good news with non-Christians? No, actually, maybe not. Something else I was listening to. One of their habits, somebody was saying, it was actually a habit of just dropping that little bit of a gem into a conversation with your non-Christian friends and relatives. Yeah, but you know, the Bible says this, so there you go. Do you know what I mean? Not being like intrusive in that, it has to be relevant. But yeah, you know, so sharing the good news, I think, is also a habit, isn't it? Finding what the good news of God is for that person is the thing. It's listening to the person and finding what the good news of God is for that person. So is there another one? Oh yeah, there's another verse. So the verse I'm going to leave you with is, first of all, I put all of Matthew 6 on the slides and then I had to cut it down because you can't read all that much. So do not worry saying, what should we eat or what should we drink or what should we wear? For the pagans run after all these things and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. That's a really precious verse to me because there was a time when Bethy was a baby that money was really tight for us. And I didn't worry about it, but I did have to keep an eye on every penny. And when I go into Sainsbury's, you know, it not just is that nice, is it good for us, but can I afford it, was those three questions were equally important. And then one day Paul had done some consulting work, which was about a week's worth of evenings, I think, and it brought in a month's worth of money for us. And I got out the car at Sainsbury's, and it was almost like God was standing right beside me with a big smile on his face saying, and your Father in heaven knows that you need these things, you know, and it was huge. But so your Father in heaven knows that you need these things, but seek first the kingdom and righteousness and all these things will be given you as well. And that's what I want to leave you with. That's what I want you to talk about over brunch and encourage each other in over brunch.